Chapter 15. Create an uproar. A destructive creative process. Art is not a handicraft. It is the transmission of feeling the artist has experienced. Leo Tolstoy. There can be a certain blind arrogance when we assume that the manifest potential of our physical universe is defined by what we can perceive through our physical senses and the limitations of those organs. Yet our trust in known science is based on this materialistic belief. This is especially poignant when we consider how our structures of belief so often define the limits of our perception. We only see what we believe it is possible to see. We only hear what we want to hear. We only feel what we think matters. We are caught in a paradox of perception. We can't believe in something until we can see it, but we can't physically see it until we believe it could be there. Beliefs have hijacked the perceptive power of consciousness, especially in relation to the sensuous mystery of the unknown. In this, beliefs have a complex relationship with passion, which is the spontaneous manifestation, facilitation, and expression of the unknown source potential through our bodies, hearts, and minds. This is where our creative power cuts the middle way. Beliefs are about protection, control, preservation, structure, and safety. They slow down and restrain the rapid influx of information into consciousness. Too much change or too much differentiation threatens the stability of the whole. Where disintegration is threatened, beliefs are tools of integration. When we engage in a creative process, giving form to affliction or irresolution, we simultaneously ride on the power of passion and of belief. The two conflicting forces, acceleration and deceleration, become one in a tuned transmission. Through our creativity, the deeper structural power of mind aligns with the elemental power of passion. The progeny is then offered to the whole in a movement of transmission, service, or expression. All experience is sooner or later shared experience. Let's study for a moment how it feels to open a creative window. We are active in our intention and in the opening, but after that the movement is one of facilitation. We permit the passage of source energy through us. We allow inspiration from the unknown. We open the window and wait for the exact resonance to arise, a resonance that strikes a chord of expression through body, heart, and mind. While doing something creative might be a way to open the creative window, the true creativity is in the flow, the passage of source energy into form. This is where heaven comes to earth, or spiritual energy fuses with denser energies, and a healing process unfurls. The creative offering is full of quality and is energized by pure consciousness. It alleviates internal pressure while elevating the whole. When we allow a non-dual quality to resonate unconditionally within the field of conscious awareness, regardless of the state of suffering within the psyche, we enter a creative process. When peace pulsates, regardless of the stuttering of war and surrender, a creativity comes forward, proffering possibilities for progress. When love vibrates, even when hatred hunts out sacrifice, the voltage in the violence is deflated. When beauty bestows her charms, how our vulgarity and inner ugliness melts in a unison of wonder. Our creativity is the vehicle in which our passion rides. The qualities of our true nature, arising through passion, cut a passage of middle ways in a creative process of evolution. Yet our beliefs are conditioned to pit our pain against our true nature. Where we are in pain, for example, we cannot experience bliss. Where we are in love, we cannot experience hatred. We cannot experience our truth as long as there are lies, or we cannot find peace as long as there are wars. Our beliefs put true nature in conflict with the conflicted parts of the psyche. It's either or and mutually exclusive. True nature is a bargaining chip that we could lose in a war against suffering. Our beliefs have been formed in the duality of opposing opposites, and their deeper need is to evolve into a perception of collaborating pairs. This evolution is a creative process. Where there is an attitude of collaboration as well as competition, creativity arises and passion thrives. Under this evolutionary principle, even competition can be collaborative, just as collaboration can be competitive. All is in service to the evolution or healing of the whole. Part of our evolution is the evolution of the brain. As a physical entity bridging mind and body, the brain has been trained to protect, survive, and to make sense of vast amounts of information. One way we do this is through our beliefs. Yet beliefs so often cause passion to backfire, confuse our direction, and bottleneck our creativity. If we go into the core meaning of the word, we find that to believe is to fall in love with a form. The root word leaf is derived from its Proto-Indo-European root lerb, meaning to care, desire, love. This means that the very mental apparatus through which we structure our reality, our systems of belief, are in naturalness orchestrations of love. They come to life through the feeling connection. They decide on our point of view and the general orientation of the heart and soul. Motivated by love, with a mission of love, our beliefs direct where and how we resource ourselves. They can turn us toward Jerusalem or toward the magnificence of a mushroom as a means to resource the soul. They are part of how we orientate our purpose in a vast universe. When there is a conflict in feeling, such as when we hate and love a person at the same time, trouble arises. Our thoughts try to make sense of it, offering beliefs as precepts and conclusions that seem to bridge the gap. For example, all men are naturally promiscuous, a belief that uses trust to bridge love and suspicion of men. You can trust all men to be promiscuous, so I can still love my treacherous brother. In time, beliefs get less and less conscious, controlling perception from the shadows, often disconnected from sensitivity and feeling, and showing up as soulless dogma. As they enter us through repetition and habit, becoming part of our autonomous physiology, damaging beliefs can assume the furniture of home. They become assumed forms of limitation, which are normalized, weaponized, and unquestioned. The heart and the power of universal love that moves through it is radically free. Our beliefs are born as tools to serve this love. They were never meant to be the structures through which love is denied. Our beliefs are born to work for the qualities of our true nature, not against them. In naturalness, beliefs are mental tools to support our manifestation and the uprising of passion, not to repress it. This repression, originating in old disembodied beliefs, can lead to long-term depression. It can be delightful and surprising sometimes to have a belief broken. It can be a relief to dispel a belief, as an unbridled power of love can again shine through the cracks in our nominal reality. Yet at the same time, beliefs are protective structures. They were born in reaction to extreme experience to facilitate trust, balance, and safety. They are often our defenses against danger and coping strategies for a hostile world. This means that when they weaken or break, we often face that very threat of suffering or pain that they blocked. They are associated with the pain. They are attached. So when the beliefs rattle, that old pain also screeches. These rattling, screeching sounds of distress can sound the alert to tighten the chains and secure the locks on the mind. We get caught in a cycle until we find the creative space in which it is possible to allow a change in attitude. Attitude can steer our beliefs in a beneficial direction. Our attitudes are part of our inclination of consciousness, or the way we perceive things. They affect what we see and how we see it. Like tinted sunglasses on the eyes of the soul, our attitudes have all pervasive effects on how we perceive reality and therefore on the nature of our experience. When there is a foreboding attitude, we will find danger everywhere, and we will cope with this by closing down perception and reducing sensitivity. Where there is an attitude of a non-dual quality, for example, passion, our consciousness invites the expression of quality around and through us. This is because the qualities of our true nature are integral to consciousness and are powerful accelerators of consciousness. A passionate attitude will lead to passionate thoughts, passionate beliefs, the attraction toward passion in others, and an invitation to passion extended toward others. This quality feedback further expands the resonance of passion within consciousness. Rewarded by the sense of well-being, the inclination toward passion is further developed from the cells of the body through the nerve system all the way to the neural networks of the brain. We evolve through all layers to be able to channel higher and higher frequencies of passion. But are we able to allow passion when it seems to threaten the structures of our beliefs? What is our attitude to passion in suffering and the suffering in passion? Can we let suffering be part of the passion? Whether victim or perpetrator, how do we deal with the darker side, the more horrific aspects of experience? Do we deflate and become purposeless, settling for a general sense of lostness? Or could these subterranean vital passages of pain be our validation as blood-giving co-creators of the whole earth? Could it be that this conflict of opposites at cause within suffering is that which sparks a flame of passion to light up our entire world? We always have a choice to return immediately, without hesitation, out of the wilderness of belief structures and into the clarity and inclusivity of our true nature. We are free to navigate between deceleration through resistance and acceleration through the passion within the pain. This choice has everything to do with our creativity. It is out of this space that there is a collaboration between mind, psyche, and body, which allows an opening of the creative window to let the full mystery of the universe express intimately and uniquely through you. To move with creativity is to co-create the experience of the whole. It is to be a direct observer participant in the unfolding creation of the universe, and to be in direct service to the whole. All this is implicit and explicit revelation made possible through the non-dual quality of passion. At the core of the creative principle of the physical universe, there is this friction, And this pain is the alchemical substance within the passion to evolve, heal, serve, express, and share the source qualities of our true nature. In allowing this, we remember ourselves as the deep authority, the origin of truth, and the creator of all forms of experience. We have a profound individual purpose to allow the unique forms of true nature to manifest through us in unity with the whole. Unique, alive, and in unity. Creativity is not just about art. It is also about innovation, the skills of creative problem solving, and the movement beyond the limitations of binary mind. In the famous words of Steve Jobs, founder of Apple Computers, "Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. But the only thing that you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They push the human race forward, and while some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius, because the ones who are crazy enough to think that they can change the world are the ones who do." Our evolutionary human endeavor is to bring heaven to earth and earth to heaven, and this is a creative process fired by passion. We are universal co-creators, individually answerable to the opportunity of our unique manifestation. In this, the deeper responsibility is in allowing our creativity, in being humble enough in our personalities to admit the godliness of the inner creator. Through creativity, passion manifests. Suffering becomes service. Impermanence becomes beauty. Terror becomes awe. And annihilation becomes unity. Creativity opens us to the unknown aspects of experience, allowing whatever is needed from the zero-point field to come to life within awareness and to be transmitted into the world. It is a whole movement of transformation in which the insufferable becomes sufferable and reveals its essence of beauty and truth. When conditions allow, that which was excluded, unacceptable, and violating is aroused from the core of the body and begins to express through music, art, and literature. Suddenly there is love infiltrating the pain, beauty revealed in the loss, and purpose unfolding even out of despair. What was denied is revealed. What was banished comes home, and what was isolated becomes the very means through which we touch one another. The creative principle is innate to the quality of passion. It is there at the birth of the whole physical universe and in the birth of each moment in time. Yet creation is a destructive process. It involves collision, breakage, splintering, and rupture. It is full of pain. Everything that is born must just as surely die. Each moment of arrival is a moment departing. Change, impermanence, and loss are definitive parameters to our being here in freedom. Without this movement, there would be no creation and no life, and this is literally inconceivable. We are in a process of remembering that our beliefs are here to be of service to the whole, not to protect us from it. In this transformation of how we use beliefs, one of the first entanglements to show up will be in the belief that creation is the opposite of destruction, that creation is good and destruction is bad. In this belief, we lose the power of passion, as our creativity loses half its motor. When we resist destruction, the psyche gets demoted as a creator, and it becomes a controller. But the energy of destruction does not go away, it just gets diverted, commanded to keep control, we are compelled to destroy that which cannot be controlled. One of the most pressing energies to control is this destructive, wild passion of true nature. We seek to destroy the destruction that is in it. Under pressure of the same passion, we will even seek creative ways to destroy destruction. Anything goes as long as we are in control. Yet this strategic controller, a mosaic of coping mechanisms, hardly offers a shadow of who we truly are and who we are becoming. It lost the feeling connection, and where we lose feeling, we close the senses. And where our senses are closed, life becomes senseless. In time, this senselessness becomes pointlessness, and pointlessness becomes meaninglessness. Disimpassioned, we lose all purpose. What is the sense in singing a song? Every moment of manifestation is sustained through a natural balance of creation and destruction. Take the cells within the body, for example. If there is an overdrive of cell creation, we get a tumor. If there is an overdrive of cell destruction, we get neurodegeneration. This balance, this intelligence that has the discernment to know when to be born and when to die, is what brings well-being to the whole. It is at the core of our passion. Also at the depth of the methodology of creation, destruction and passion is the offering to the well-being of the whole. Where some cells act in isolation, all the cells suffer. The key word therapeutically is movement. When we acknowledge the uniquely formed pain at the core of ourselves, then we can give it space. Already with that spaciousness, we can bring an unconditional attitude, such as an attitude of softness or curiosity. As the pain decontracts and comes to life, it seeks a voice. It needs to express. It wants to move and to be transmitted. The creative process is a key facilitator in allowing it to take form into the universe of the living. This offering and release from the inside out resonates with truth. It is always of service to the whole. Creation happens in the moment of destruction. New expressions of life emerge through the gap where older forms have split open. When we become one with the other, we blend as a new form of unity and we destroy the separate entity. When we split from that unity, we create new forms of life. Imagine you are a seed of pure potential, buried deep inside the earth. You are silently but stealthily expanding within your shell. There is an incremental unfolding. You begin to press up against the barriers and to intuit a warm glow of light. Then that moment comes. Without wanting it, you are breaking open the shell that has been your sanctuary of growth. It is splitting apart, and it feels like the end of the world. All known reality is ruptured, and you reach through the gap toward the light. Your body has broken apart, but you are still here, no longer a grain, but a shoot of life, aroused into a vast dimension of space, reaching up and stretching outward. Through passion that moves beyond any split between creation and destruction, new life is arising. You are creating a whole tree within a lineage of trees. Your purpose is unfolding the unique expression of the universal tree that was always there, deep within the shell, deep within the seed, deep within the zygote, in the vast space of pure potential. Out of a star that shines with the purest light of purpose.